This is Juvie, a podcast that explores cases, legislation, experiences, and ramifications of children and youth in juvenile and adult criminal justice systems. Presented by Zoe Battovinic.
Hello and welcome to Juvie's Juvenile Justice News Roundup. Trends, court rulings, research, hot button issues, and juvenile cases currently in the media. My name's Zoe Battovinic. Here at Juvie, we invite anyone who has special insight into any of the issues and cases we mention and who'd like to share their perspectives on the show to get in touch with us at juviepodcast@gmail.com. That's juviepodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave comments under the show notes of each episode on our website, juviepodcast.com. And please leave us reviews on iTunes. This week, we're focusing on four juvenile cases spanning the last 43 years, with one thing in common. They've all been dealt with and continue to be dealt with under the jurisdiction of the adult criminal justice system. These four cases, very different in nature and at varying stages, have all had some significant developments in the past couple of weeks, and they demonstrate the wide range of crimes for which children can be charged and convicted in the United States. The three cases that have resulted in convictions are being contested as having been wrongful convictions, and the fourth case has yet to be tried. Today, the podcast received a surprise call from someone who's only been out of prison for 10 days. On September 1st, juvenile lifer Tyrone Jones walked free from Mahanoy State Correctional Institution in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, after having been imprisoned for 43 years for a 1973 gang-related North Philadelphia murder. His release comes on the heels of the January United States Supreme Court's Montgomery v. Louisiana ruling, which makes retroactive a 2012 ruling that sentencing juveniles to mandatory life without parole is unconstitutional. Jones was 16 when he was arrested and will turn 60 next month. He has always maintained his innocence, saying that his confession was coerced, and the Pennsylvania Innocence Project, based at Temple University Law School in Philadelphia, is continuing to work towards his exoneration. We'll be talking to Tyrone Jones this coming week and hope to feature that interview on the show very shortly. On September 2nd, it came to light that Thiru Vignaraja, the Maryland Assistant Attorney General who was the prosecutor in the February post-conviction relief hearing of Baltimore's Adnan Syed, will be leaving his position next month. In July, Mr. Vignaraja filed an appeal against Judge Martin Welsh's June decision, which granted a new trial to Adnan Syed as a result of February's proceedings, and which also came with the vacation of his 2000 conviction for the death of his ex-girlfriend, Hae Min Lee. Vignaraja is to be replaced by Carolyn Quattrocchi, who currently serves as executive director for the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange. Another well-known conviction vacation that is being appealed by prosecutors is that of Brendan Dassey, who the state of Wisconsin claims was an accomplice to Stephen Avery in the 2005 sexual assault and murder of photographer Teresa Halbach, a case that was made famous in the Netflix documentary Making a Murderer. The documentary exposed questionable methods used in obtaining a confession from the then 16-year-old Mr. Dassey, who was interrogated without a lawyer or parent present. Mr. Dassey was said to have been particularly vulnerable to coerced confession due to his lower-than-average IQ. On Friday, September 9th, Brad Schimmel, the Wisconsin Attorney General, contested Federal Magistrate Judge William E. Duffin's August decision that Brendan Dassey's confession was coerced by investigators and that no reasonable court could have concluded otherwise. Brendan Dassey turns 27 next month. In another Wisconsin case, this Friday, Anissa Wire, the second of two now 14-year-old girls charged 2 years ago as adults with first-degree attempted intentional homicide, entered a plea of not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. In Wisconsin, the charge automatically categorizes any child over the age of 10 as an adult. Wire and her co-defendant, Morgan Geiser, who entered the same plea a month ago, were both 12 in May 2014 when they lured their classmate Peyton Leutner into a wooded park in Waukesha, a town west of Milwaukee, following a sleepover, and stabbed her 19 times. Wire and Geyser claim to have been inspired by a fictional, suited internet horror character called Slender Man, who is said to stalk, kidnap, and kill children. According to police reports, the girls said the attack was an attempt to demonstrate their devotion to Slender Man. The victims survived. Judge Michael Boren ordered that two doctors examine Wire and turn in a report on her mental status by October 6th. Attorneys for the girls have been fighting unsuccessfully for the past 2 years to get the case moved to juvenile court. Had the case proceeded in juvenile court, the girls would have faced up to 3 years in juvenile detention with supervision until they were 18, and their records would have been sealed. With the case proceeding in adult court, the girls could face up to 40 years in prison. We hope you're following the case of our featured juvenile lifer, Giovanni Reed. We'll continue to unfold his story in upcoming episodes. Giovanni also called us today from prison at Greaterford, 35 miles west of Philadelphia. He's been able to hear some of the material we've done on him via phone when he's been speaking to Latasha Williams, his staunchest advocate and supporter, who we featured in episode 5, A Walk in the Wee Hours, The Crime. You'll be hearing much more from Latasha as time goes on. Thank you for listening, and if you're enjoying Juvie and being inspired by it, think about making a donation by clicking the donate button on our website. And that's all for this week's Juvie Juvenile Justice News Roundup. So join us next time on Juvie, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you can keep up with what's happening in juvenile justice.
I feel so small. Small. While everything else gets bigger.